Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, you tell the apostles in the Last Supper, and you tell each one of us, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You chose each one of us from all eternity. Yes, we have chosen you too. We have chosen to be your Christians, your Catholics, struggling to pray, to go to Mass, but it's only a response to that prior choice that you made of us. And the task that you have appointed us, as you say, is to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will abide. And what is that fruit? It is in ourselves that holiness of life, that love for you, that striving to do your will and to be sorry when we fail. Holiness of life is fruit that abides, treasure stored up in heaven. We can store up treasure on earth, but moth and rust consume, and thieves break in and steal, as you told us. What abides for all eternity is our love for you, our treasure stored up in heaven. And also, that fruit will be in others. Because if we are the saints that you want us to be, our light will shine, or better, your light will shine through us. And others will be drawn to that light, and they will find that meaning, that truth that they are looking for. Our love for you, your love for us, will pour out into them too, for everyone. Not just for Catholics, not just for people of our own national background, for everyone. You came that all might be saved. You sent the apostles out to all nations. You sent us out, each one of us. By our baptism is called to that apostolate. And Lord, help us to listen to you, to spend time with you in prayer, to remember that you chose each one of us for a mission to bear fruit which will abide, fruit in ourselves, fruit in others. And in order to do that, we need to struggle. We need to make an effort. We don't coast into heaven. A tree that wants to bear more fruit is pruned, cut back, so that it will bear more fruit. You tell us that also in the Last Supper. It is fertilized. It is watered. Then it can bear fruit. And we have to struggle in our own life to fertilize that soil that you have given us through our prayer, through the sacraments, to prune ourselves through penance, so that we will be those saints that you want us to be. And it is, on the one hand, within the grasp of everyone. On the other hand, it is not easy. If we look at the two possible ways in life of which you spoke, and let us read your words from the Gospel of St. Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Two ways in life, the easy road, the wide road that leads to destruction, to hell. It is an easy road. We don't get up in the morning, we sleep in. We don't go to Mass. We don't pray. We don't do penance. We indulge ourselves. We are dishonest in our work. We can make more money. An easy road. And it does not lead to life. It does not lead to life here on earth. We are not happy when we're living that way. We know it. No one else is. And the way that leads to life is the narrow gate. And the road is hard. It's uphill. And this is the road we want to follow. Yes, it is uphill, but you give us the grace. You give us the inspiration. We simply look at your life lived here on earth. Those 33 years, constant self-giving, pouring yourself out for others, and what fruitfulness in the apostles and in those disciples, and today in the whole world. Because you were generous, you gave yourself, we are here in the faith. This is the way that you want us to follow. And why is it hard? We can think of it as being hard in terms of what the scriptures tell us, those three enemies of the soul, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, I like to think of the world as everything outside of us, the environment around us. It is what we can read in the daily newspapers, what we can see on television, what we can find on the internet. And in addition to so many good things that lead us to you, there is so much that leads us away from you. We turn on television late at night. It's very difficult to find a program that expresses moral values. We can look on the internet for so many good things, but we also find the pornography. We find the sinfulness. And then it is the way people live. And we live in this environment and we talk with them. And they are living immoral lives so often. And they even brag about it. And more marriages break up. And young people before marriage do not live chastity. And people are dishonest and lazy. And it is an easy road, and we are in some way enticed to follow it. But Lord, help us not to follow that way. The world today is not leading us to God. It never did. One way of envisioning it is we are paddling a canoe upstream. There are times when in a canoe we might be going downstream. It's very easy to paddle downstream. We can just put the paddle in the back of the canoe and guide the canoe like a rudder, and it will go very quickly. We can paddle a canoe in a lake, and that is easy too. There is no current. But we are paddling in order to get to heaven upstream. The world is pushing us back. If we want to stay in the same place, we have to make the effort to paddle. But in addition to the world, there is the flesh, everything inside of us, the effects of original sin, that pride, that vanity, that selfishness, self-centeredness, self-indulgence, desire for pleasure, laziness, all of those effects of original sin that we all have. And they too pull us back. If we give in to them, then we are going backwards in this canoe because we are not paddling. We need to paddle. We need to struggle to overcome those inherent weaknesses of original sin and add to the world, the flesh, the devil, who goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And there are so many successes of the devil, and we've seen this. Very good practicing Catholics who give up the practice of the faith. People that are led into temptations and they fall and they end up lying on the ground. The devil is real. the devil is active. And Lord, to struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil takes effort. But you give us all the grace we need. My grace is sufficient for you. You tell St. Paul when he cries out to you for help. Lord, help us to live this spiritual struggle, to struggle to be saints, to live that perfection that you invite us to live in the Sermon on the Mount. Be ye perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And even in the Old Testament, be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. And holiness is simply love for you, and love is shown in doing your will. Years ago, Don Alvaro del Portillo, who God willing will be beatified later this year, was in Australia. And someone asked him a question. And he said, in Australia, we have a saying, she'll be right. We use it when we think we have done enough in a particular job. At times, it is an excuse for not praying or for not being docile in spiritual direction. How can we overcome this attitude? We can all understand this. She'll be right. Everything will be okay. I don't need to pray. I don't need to do penance. I don't need to go to Mass so often. Everything will be okay. She'll be right. And Don Alvaro answered, that expression that you use here, we cannot use in our dealings with God. Our dealing with God cannot be something half-baked, poorly done. Our Lord deserves all of our affection. He deserves all of our attention. He has given his life, dying on the cross for us. He has a right that we give our life for him. And therefore, my sons, we have to make the effort. We have to overcome ourselves. And if we strive to overcome ourselves, then everything that we do for God has a great value. And Lord, help us to do that. You died for us. You gave to the very last drop of blood and water. We can't give halfway. Sanctity is love, and love is doing your will in everything that you ask of us. And this requires that effort, that struggle. Don Alvaro II in Pamplona in 1990, speaking to seminarians and theology students, said, a man who doesn't struggle is a man without interior life. Militia est vita homini super terram, says the book of Job. The life of man on earth is a struggle. Therefore, the one who doesn't struggle doesn't live. He doesn't have interior life. He doesn't live before God. We have to struggle. And with this, God is happy. On earth, Don Alvaro went on, there are no saints. There are people who strive to be saints. Saints are not those who never fall. They fall too. But even though it may be in little things, it gives them a great sorrow, because when there is much love, a slight affront produces great sorrow. They fall, but they make an effort to get up again immediately. Saints are those who at the end of life are standing up by the grace of God. To be a person who struggles. And yes, we fall too. We commit sins. And Lord, that is why you gave us this blessed sacrament of penance, the sacrament of joy. And when we think of the effort that may be involved in our spiritual life, and perhaps hold back thinking, that's a lot. We should think of our own effort and that of so many others in those good, noble, worldly goals. We think of the athletes, those who are at the top in their particular endeavor, world champions, members of teams in the first division, how much effort they make to train, to deny themselves certain foods, to get to bed on time. It is arduous, but they do it for a good and noble cause, to excel at their work. years ago when Yvonne Lendl had won the Australian Open tennis. The journalists noticed that he was hitting the ball a lot harder, and they asked him why it was, and he answered that it was because of all the weights that he was doing. And he said, "I hate doing weights. I just absolutely hate it. And I have done quite a bit of it. I think it is extremely important for my game. Not necessarily here or at the French Open, but on grass you have to muscle the ball sometimes a little bit off the bad bounce or so. Sometimes I come to the gym and I just sit there for 10 minutes and stare at those machines before I have the courage to start working. But it has to be done, and I wish I had done it when I was 18, not 25. Lord, what an example for us. This man who reached the top in tennis had to do things that he absolutely hated, but he did it, and he was happy he had done it, and was sorry he hadn't started earlier. If an athlete will do that for a noble human goal, what will we not do for a supernatural goal, for fruit that abides unto eternal life? We are so reluctant to make that effort. Lord, help us to struggle. St. John Chrysostom, early father of the church, says, "If there is someone who is going to reward us, let us do everything possible not to lose the reward that is given to virtue. But how can one find the Lord? Think of how gold is found, by much effort and trouble. So we must seek God in the same way as we look for something we have lost. Is it not true that we rack our brains? Don't we look everywhere? Don't we look in out-of-the-way places? Don't we spend money searching? If, for example, we have lost a child, what will we not do? What regions, what seas will we not cross? How much more in the case of God, given that those who seek him have such need of him?" And Lord, this is the way. When we truly want something human, we will use all the means to obtain it. And this is something supernatural. It is love for you that lasts for all eternity. Heaven, that supreme, definitive happiness with you, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church describes it. What effort should we not make to attain that goal? And what does this mean for us? It means every day when we get out of bed, and let us get out of bed on time, and we say those morning prayers, and we think, "Lord, what are you going to ask of me today? Whatever it may be, help me to fulfill it today." We don't know whether we will have a tomorrow or a next year. St. Jose Maria, in one of his homilies, says, "God may have given us just one more year in which to serve him. Don't think of 5 or even 2. Just concentrate on this one year that has just started. Give it to God. Don't bury it. This is the resolution we ought to make." We cannot look to the future and see many years before us and think, "Well, I can make an effort, but I don't need to make so much effort now. I can wait a few years when things are more settled in my life." Lord, we don't know. You can call us at any time. What we do know is that today we can be your good servants. Today we can do your will. Let us live this day to the full. If we have a tomorrow, that is a bonus. And St. Jose Maria also says, "This world, my children, is slipping from our grasp. We cannot waste time, for it is short. We must earnestly commit ourselves to the task of our personal sanctification and to the apostolic work which our Lord has entrusted to us. We must spend our time faithfully and loyally, and administer well with a sense of responsibility the talents we have received, So many talents you have given to each one of us. You will ask an account. Help us to use them well. And also St. Jose Maria says, how well I understand St. Paul's exclamation to the Corinthians, tempus breve est. How short indeed is the time of our passage through this world. These words ring deep down in the heart of a Christian who wants to be consistent as a reproach to his lack of generosity and as a constant invitation to be loyal. Brief indeed is our time for loving, for giving, for making atonement. A whole life of 80, 90, 100 years is brief for loving, for giving, for making atonement. Tempus brevi est. Life is brief. Time is short. Lord, help us to use our time well. And what characteristics should our struggle have? It should be, in the first place, very specific. Yes, we want to be saints, but in order to do that, we must struggle in very particular areas at any one time. And it's very good that we have what we call a particular examination, a particular area of struggle. For example, it might be to overcome some defect. Perhaps we are lazy, we are disorderly, we are self-indulgent, we seek impurity, and we make an effort, first of all, to overcome those defects. Perhaps it is to be more faithful in our daily plan of spiritual activities, to be more regular in our prayer, in the rosary, in spiritual reading, in getting to Mass. Perhaps it is growing in a virtue corresponding to those vices that we also have. And we make an effort to be more kind and thoughtful of others, thinking first of them, not of ourselves. To use our time better, to be more industrious. We can waste so much time. To be more mortified. To struggle in every meal, to put that tasty ingredient of mortification, as St. Jose Maria calls it, to have some very particular area in which we are struggling at any one time. And then, secondly, our struggle should be humble. We are not going to be saints on the basis of willpower alone. We need willpower. But we need the grace of God, and we know our weaknesses. And so we come at the beginning of every day, and at the beginning of our prayer, and at the beginning of any job or activity, Lord, help me. By myself, I can do nothing. I will fail as I have failed so often in the past. I need your help. Help me. And as we are doing that activity, we can continue to ask for your help. And when we finish, Lord, thank you. For whatever fruits there are, whatever successes there are, we owe to you. Humble. By ourselves, we can do nothing. We rely totally on you. And then a struggle which is determined, not half-hearted. It would be good if I could do the will of God. It would be good if I were a saint. That's not enough. I am determined to be that saint. I am determined, as Ivan Lendl was in lifting his weights, working on those weight machines, to do it in spite of the fact that he didn't feel like it, and he even hated it. The determination to say, I am going to get out of bed on time. I am going to be faithful to my prayer. I am going to start my work on time and finish it before I start looking for relaxation. Determination. As other people put that determination into their human goals, whether it be sport, whether it be a business, whether it be their study, the effort that they make bears fruit. We make that effort with the same determination. And then it is very helpful that our struggle be directed. We can do many things on our own, but we all know that it is much more easy if we give an account to someone. We seek out someone who can help us as a spiritual guide, a spiritual director, and we see them regularly, just as that athlete sees the coach regularly and listens to what the coach has to say, takes it on board, struggles in those areas, and then improves. Every good athlete has a coach. And Lord, we are in this athletics of the spiritual life. We are competing in the supernatural Olympics, and we need a coach too. We will go much farther if we have someone that helps us. Help us to find someone like that, to see that person regularly, to listen to what they say, to strive to put it into practice, to go back and see them and give an account. And if it has been a failure in this first week or month, so be it. We will pick ourselves up, we will start over if we keep on going to them. And then that struggle, which is constant, not just for one day, for one week, for one month, but prepared to struggle all our life. St. Jose Maria wrote in his diary just a few years before he died, "This is our destiny on earth, to struggle out of love until the last instant." Deo gratias. And he did that himself, struggling out of love, not coasting, not saying, "I have reached my plateau, this is good enough." No, struggling out of love until the last instant. With the grace of God, with the joy that God gives us. Struggling out of love, out of joy, because God is near us. Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is near, St. Paul writes to the Philippians. When we do that, we find this joy because we find God. We are closer to Him. We are doing His will. And let us read some words of St. Paul on the spiritual struggle, too. He writes to the Philippians, "Not that I have already obtained this," he's been referring to the prize of heaven, "or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I press on, I strain forward. The great St. Paul, who preached the gospel, who suffered so much to do that, wasn't satisfied that he would gain heaven. He too needed to press on to struggle. If he did, all the more do we. And we go to Our Lady, Mary, help of Christians, Queen of all saints. You give us the example of your life lived in the presence of God, doing the will of God as the handmaid of the Lord. And your life was fruitful. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Help us to struggle as you did, so that our life too may be very fruitful. To struggle out of love, with joy, until the last instant. Deo gratias. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.